You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz. Its title, Here's Help for You. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
The great problems of our time are not political, and they are not economic. They are moral and spiritual. We are facing in this nation a moral crisis of the first dimension. This statement of national concern was not spoken by some cranky social critic. Instead, this expression of urgent concern was part of a speech given by Dr. George Gallup, Jr. of the prestigious Gallup Poll Organization. He was speaking at a meeting sponsored by the National Conference of Christians and Jews. Dr. George Gallup also referred to the best-selling book authored by Dr. Alan Bloom, The Closing of the American Mind. Bloom states that nowadays our societies become so self-centered that neither the Bible nor anything else acts as a fountain of changeless knowledge in the home. There is no one or nothing to provide solid values. There is no guiding light either for families or for individuals to look to. It is in these times of increasing social uncertainty and in an era when even the best experts are now describing our society as a directionless and unsatisfied population that those who seek help must become aware of the eternal and rock-solid stability and the clear direction for life that comes from the true God of history. This God of the Bible, this God of history also invites all who are oppressed, uncertain, and discouraged to come to Him for help and hope. The mercy-filled Lord of history says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." This open and gracious offer of our Lord to assist us in days of difficulty is that critical advice we now need as we struggle ahead in our increasingly uncertain world. This eternal gospel of God's gracious help is offered freely unto all. No one is too young to qualify, and no person's problems are too small to be considered, and no situation is inappropriate. For the God of the Bible, there are no challenges too great, and for the living and true God of history, there are no pleas, no prayers, and no petitions that are too small that the Lord would consider them insignificant and unworthy to be listened to lovingly by Him. Therefore, instead of fretting over either past failures or future uncertainties, let us begin by praying that God would grant all of us today the attitude of King David. A great man of faith, David's example of faith, provides a pattern for us to imitate. In Psalm 34, David confesses his absolute confidence in the power of prayer when he prays, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles." "Oh, taste and see," King David exclaims, "that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord. Yes, fear the Lord, for to those who fear Him there is no want." This inspiring confidence, this unshakable hope, and this rock-like courage expressed by David the psalmist can be possessed also by people in the 20th century. But if you and I expect to claim the confidence of the psalmist David, then we also need to know God just like David did. Then it is perhaps most honest for us to admit that we don't imitate the example of David, and we don't call upon God daily in prayer. And we don't do this simply because we don't really know our Heavenly Father. We may possess a remarkable awareness of religion in general, and we may even feel that we know quite a bit about the Bible. But if we were asked to describe the character of God based upon solid scriptural examples, then, more than likely, we would be unable to do this. Therefore, how can we be expected to go to someone that we don't know, or to someone we don't know where to find? Although no one has seen God at any time, the Bible does give us clear information about our Heavenly Father. Through the Bible, we know about God's love and His mercy and His grace. God is a Lord of endless mercy, and this God of mercy is also the one who is now saying to you, my friend, call upon me when you need me, and I will help you. This is a wonderful offer for you, especially today. This is also the answer for the concerns that you now have. Go to God, and then, my friend, in confidence, God will help you. This Lord is waiting to hear your concerns. And when you get to know God better, not from my opinion, but from the inspired words from the Bible, then by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will also, through faith in Jesus Christ, be enabled to begin approaching God every day with greater confidence and greater joy. Now, as you approach God, the role or the place of Jesus Christ is very, very important. In fact, it is absolutely crucial. Because, you see, when you consider God's invitation to come to Him for help, you may consider yourself unqualified. For as you look at your past life, reviewing your many mistakes, this honest review may plant fear instead of confidence in your heart. You may feel more like running away from God rather than toward Him for help. But when the devil tempts you to believe this, that God accepts only those with a perfect past, then before you make any rash decisions, consider first the background of the Apostle Paul. You see, when we think of this great missionary, we normally envision a great man of God, someone who was so sincere and so dedicated that he could have walked comfortably, hand in hand with Jesus, our sinless Savior. Oh, it is true, St. Paul was covered by the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus, but before he had met the Savior, this apostle not only failed to serve his Lord, but he actually used every technique and every opportunity to try to destroy the followers of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, Acts chapter 26, we can read St. Paul's confession of his ungodly early years. "I thought," he said, "that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only," St. Paul explains, "did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but I also, when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them often in all of the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme, and being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities." Now, my friend, today, after reading this confession of a man who did his utmost to destroy, yes, even to murder, every last Christian that he could find, one would hardly conclude that this is the type of person that would someday be accepted by God. But this is where God, in His unexplainable grace, surprises, or shall we say, shocks many, many people. This murderer of Christians was confronted by God, yes, he was, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Saul, as he was then known, he was converted, and he became the Apostle Paul, the most zealous, dedicated, and effective missionary that the world has ever known. Therefore, as you today look for help in your life and as you consider God's offer, come unto me and I will help you. And as you at the same time feel unqualified to be in God's presence, then first recall the life of St. Paul. In the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, God not only accepted St. Paul, but He used him dramatically. And let this example be an encouragement for you. You are not beyond hope. You are not beyond help. In His grace, God is willing. In fact, He strongly desires to help you and to forgive you and to strengthen you and to give you hope. Or let's take still another example of God's grace and mercy. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, we read that one day the scribes and the Pharisees enemies of Jesus, brought a woman to him, a woman who had been caught in adultery. And then they set the woman in front of Jesus, and then the Bible explains that these scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery." "Now," they said, "in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say?" The Bible explains that these scribes and Pharisees were saying this to Jesus in order to test him, or in order that they might have grounds to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And when these conniving Pharisees persisted in asking Jesus, he straightened up and said to them, "He among you who is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at this woman." And again Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, and when the accusing Pharisees heard Jesus' words, they began to leave the scene one by one, beginning with the older. Jesus was then left alone with the woman, and Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did nobody condemn you?" And she said to Jesus, "No one, Lord." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more." This forgiveness, of course, was not expected. And as you today look at some of the sins in your past, you may feel very much like the adulterous woman. You too may believe that you are too bad a sinner to be accepted by God, and because of your frequent failures, you feel unqualified to respond to His invitation. "Call upon me in the day of trouble," the Lord says, "and I will deliver you." But if this is how you feel, then remember, the Apostle Paul and the woman caught in adultery were very unlike each other. They were very, very different in many, many ways. However, the one event which changed their life and gave them hope was the same. They both, yes, they both had met Jesus, the man of endless mercy. And today you, yes, you, my friend, through this radio broadcast, may be meeting for the very first time, or at least hearing again about Jesus in a very unexpected way. For the past days, you may have been struggling, you may have been bothered with a burden, and the devil may be whispering in your ear, "There is no help for you." But today, through this special radio message, you have heard your gracious Lord in Jesus say to you, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. I will help you, says the Lord, and you shall honor me." This Jesus who rearranged the life of St. Paul, this Jesus who enabled the adulterous woman to put her sins behind her and to start anew, this same Jesus is now speaking to you. Jesus can and sincerely desires to help you. This Jesus is alive, and he was crucified to pay for your sins. This Jesus was raised again from the dead so that you also need never fear death. This Jesus now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from this position of authority, the Savior has power over all things, both in the heavens and over the whole earth. Trust in the Lord, then, and take your troubles to Him. Call upon Him in the day of trouble. He will deliver you. Yes, He will help you. And when He does, then glorify Him, especially in this new year. As you get a new start, say with a hymn writer who wrote, "O Lord, our Father, thanks to Thee in this new year we render, for every evil had to flee before Thee, our Defender. Our life was nourished, we were fed with rich supplies of daily bread, and peace reigned in our borders. Our faithful God, we cry to Thee, still bless us with Thy favor. Blot out all our iniquity and hide our sins forever. Grant us a happy, good new year, and when the hour of death draws near, a peaceful, blessed departure." O Lord, today we pray, visit the hearts of all who have heard this message, and let all people everywhere see Your power, Your authority, and Your glory, and Your free forgiveness. But most of all, enable the discouraged, the sick, the weak in faith, and even the dying to place their complete faith in the sin-atoning and the eternal life-giving power of Thy crucified and resurrected Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.